The parable of the wedding banquet. Jesus said this parable towards the end of his ministry. After the Palm Sunday, Jesus told several parables, and this is one of the parables. In other words, this belongs to the farewell discourse of our Lord Jesus. So before he goes, he wants to give us a very important lesson. God invites us. We are all invited to God's party. In this parable, there are two questions which are being answered. So I thought I will bring those questions before us, and then we will look into the parable. What do you do with God's invitation? I said God invites all of us. What do you do with God's invitation? Secondly, do we properly dress for the occasion? Are we properly dressed? That's the second question. I think these questions are answered in this parable. This parable is a different and difficult one, because the king became furious and he destroyed the people who did not respond to his invitation. And also, when he saw somebody is not dressed up to the occasion, he threw him to the hell. So that's the reason it's a little difficult. Let's see how we can handle this. It's a royal wedding. According to commentators, in such royal wedding, when the invitation is sent, the invitation is sent along with royal dress or a beautiful dress, because everyone is invited. Everyone cannot dress properly, so the dress is also given. The invitation is given well ahead of time, and once the party is ready, when the feast is ready, the workers go out and say, "Feast is ready, come and attend the party." And as we have read, we know that invitation was given, the workers went and called them, people said, "No, we are not coming." And the king sent his troops and killed all of them. And then the king said, "Go and bring everyone on the street to come to the party." So the party hall was filled with everyone. And then the king went one by one to meet with the guests, and there he found somebody is not dressed to the occasion. So, which we have already said. Now, let's answer the first question. What do we do with the invitation of God? Now, the invitation came to first the Israelites. They rejected the invitation. This particular gospel, Matthew, is written after AD 70. Probably it was written in AD 80. In AD 70, the people of Jerusalem were killed and the Jerusalem was destroyed. Probably that's the reason this message comes very powerfully. This parable comes very alive to Matthew and to all of us. The invitation went first to Israelites. They did not respond, and therefore it has come to all non-Jews. So the question comes to us, why we have been invited not in the first instance? Why we are invited the second time? I don't think we need to be worrying too much about it. We need to be happy that the invitation has come to all of us, irrespective of born in any part of the world. The invitation has come to all of us. Whether it has come to the first instance or second instance, it has come. If you look at the kingdom parables, at least two parables that I can see. And in both parables, you would notice that the invitation has come to everyone, the sower of the seed. When the sower went on sowing the seed, he was sowing the seed in all on all grounds, no ground that was left. So the invitation goes to every kind of people. You cannot say that it is particularly for a particular group. The second parable that comes to my mind is the parable of the dragnet. The fisherman went and put the dragnet in the sea. There he collected all sea life, not one particular sea life or a particular fish, all life. And then he collected everything to the ground. So the Bible gives ample evidence showing that the invitation is not exclusively for Israelites, but the invitation has come to all of us, all of us. Now, why did Jesus say this? It is all because Jesus wants Israelites to think, look, you are rejecting, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. You know, think about it. Don't think that you are somebody great, you are the children of God, everything is guaranteed and you are all going to go to God's kingdom. Don't think that others are going, you are missing out. So Jesus said this parable to give a kind of a teaching to Israelites to wake up. Pull up your socks. You are missing it, missing this point. Now, three kinds of responses these people gave. When the invitation went and when it was time to return, when it was time to go back and go to the party hall to enjoy, they did not come. Three kinds of responses they gave. Number one, they did not go. They would not come. They did not go at all. Why they did not go? They did not feel the importance of it. Why did not they go? It is all because it appeared very ordinary. Oh, this kind of an invitation. Oh, I'm not finding it very interesting. Not challenging or not very attractive. And that's the reason I'm not coming. It's not of any importance. Are we rejecting God's call in that way? No, it's not that interesting. This kind of the party I shouldn't be attending. Or sometimes we may think that if Archbishop invites us to his party, we may think that, no, I may not go there. That's not my style or that's not the place where I go. Is that the way we reject this God's invitation? The second response is that they made light of it. They took it very easily because they were busy. One went to his farm and another went to his business. We are too busy. We don't have time for it. We don't have time. You know, this is again a problem because you may be busy making a living, but at the end, you may fail to live it. This happens to most of us. You may be good in your administration skills in your office, but you may mess the administration at your own house. You know, we caught up ourselves with the second best, third best, and we caught up so much into it that we miss the supreme one, the supreme best. We are too busy. We are too busy with small things that we miss the main point. Now, Jesus says, "For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? What will they give in return for their life?" What is our priority? Which one are we holding? The second best or third best? Are we catching the top one? The third group became very violent. They were very violent. They, in fact, they came to invite, but they killed them. They murdered them. "How can you come and invite us?" Why did they do like that? They couldn't tolerate that kind of invitation. It is like, "I wish you have not invited me." They felt that they are somebody great, big. We have everything. Why we need to come to this party? You, by calling me, you have put me down. How can you do that? That's a kind of response. They felt that they should not be disturbed at all. When the invitation came, they felt that their comfort zone is disturbed, and they did not like that at all. Such people should not live. So they murdered the people who came to give the invitation. When I was serving in Dubai, one of the ministries that I was doing was solemnizing weddings. It was a wonderful ministry. Any couple who get married in our church should sit with the pastor at least for two sessions as a pre-marriage class. In this pre-marriage class, I had the privilege of preaching the gospel to them and then prepare them for the wedding. One couple who came to me, they said, "We don't want the class. We have high moral standards and we don't believe in all that. Just solemnize the wedding." I had to say politely no to them and said, "I'm sorry, I could not do that," and they left. But they came up with that attitude that, "We have everything. What are you going to teach us?" The high moral standard we have, and we don't need your God. That's a kind of people live in this world. What is your response to God's invitation? What do you do with this invitation? What do you do? There was a certain noble man who was invited by the King of France. His name was Sir Leonard Wood. The king was so impressed with him that he invited him for the following day as well. But Sir Leonard did not say anything. He just went after the meal. So the King of France thought that he would not come the next day. But Sir Leonard came the following day. The king was surprised to see this noble man. And the king said, "Why, Sir Leonard, I did not expect to see you. Why you are here?" Leonard looked at him and said, "Why, sir, did not your majesty invite me to dine with you?" "Yes," said the king, "but you did not answer to my invitation." To which the noble man said, A king's invitation is never answered but obeyed. A king's invitation is never answered but obeyed. God's invitation has come to all of us, and we need to be obeying. He did everything for us on the cross, and he opened his arms widely unto us and says, come to me, come to me. We need to obey. Now let's look at this parable. Feast is ready. Food is ready. And nobody turned up. Have your guests ever failed to show up? Did you have that kind of an experience? You have cooked all your meal and ready for the guests to come, but they did not turn up. Will you invite such people back again? That's exactly happening. He did everything for these people and invited them, and they did not come. The king got angry, was enraged, and he sent his troops and killed all of them, destroyed them. Very difficult to understand, isn't it? Now, when we look at Bible, right from the Old Testament, God clearly tells us that we have only one option. The option is to follow him, is to obey him. Otherwise, we are rejected. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. God says very beautifully. He says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. For those who despise me shall be treated with contempt. No other option. It's difficult, but that's how, from the Old Testament, God speaks to his people. I want to read some other words also. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 9 to 11. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who maintains covenant loyalty with those who love him and keeps his commandments to 1,000 generations, and who repays in their own person those who reject him. He does not delay, but repays in their own person those who reject him. This is Deuteronomy. Two times he says, if someone rejects me, he will repay. Repay those who reject me. The king does everything freely, magnanimously to all the invitees, but when invitees are not responding, he has no other option except to reject them. Now the question comes to us, obeying God, is it difficult? Is it difficult to follow the Lord? Is it burdensome? No, not at all, not at all. I have been following the Lord Jesus for the last 40 years. I accepted Jesus as my Savior and Lord when I was 16 years. All these 40 plus years, God has been so good. I don't have words to express how much God has been faithful in my life. You know, I have got a lot of complaints about me. I can go on listing those complaints about me, but God has been so good, fantastic, never failed. In spite of all my limitations and weaknesses, he still helped. Fantastic God. You know, it is not burdensome. It is wonderful. And that's what Jesus says, come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Very fantastically he said, come, you will enjoy, you will have a wonderful life. Now, how do we respond to his invitation? Look at those three responses. We have no other option except to follow him, but following him is a very fantastic experience. We will go to the second point. Now, the king rounded up everyone from the street. The banquet hall is filled with people now. The king, pleased that now people have come and filled the hall, so he went one by one to greet his guests. A fantastic king. He doesn't treat us as a crowd, but he treats us individually. So he goes to every person individually and meets them, greets them, welcomes them. And as he came, he saw a person not dressed up to the occasion. Now, we have been invited by God. God's grace is given to all of us, but God's grace does not eliminate standards. God's grace does not eliminate standards. At the end of World War II, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill was invited to an elaborate banquet by Russians. Now, all military personnel arrived in uniform, but Winston Churchill arrived with his famous wartime zipper coveralls. He thought that that's the way he would go so that everybody will have the war memories. According to Russians, Winston Churchill did not dress up according to the occasion, and they were terribly offended. You are invited to a wedding party and you are not going with proper dress, that will offend the one who invited you. As I said earlier, everybody is given a dress, but this man did not come with his dress. Why? Why he did not dress up to the occasion? Probably it is all because he thought it is so beautiful. The dress that I have got is so beautiful that I will keep it for some more time. Not on this occasion, or I will keep it for a next opportunity. Or he could have thought, now I should live a life that pleases me. At a later retirement age, I will look for it. It is so beautiful that I am not worthy to wear it. You know, some of us, we think that. I am unfit. How can I be called the child of God? We are all unfit. Nobody is fit to be called the child of God. But God has called us, and he has given us a new identity. Embrace it, and he is the one who is going to make you beautiful further. Don't stay away. Thirdly, probably this man has used it or overused it and did not maintain it. It's torn, it's dirty. He cannot wear it anymore, not maintaining it. Whatever it is, he did not dress up himself. And he was cast out, thrown into hell. Now we need to be very careful here. Everyone is invited. Everyone is invited to this God's kingdom or God's God's church. Everyone is invited, irrespective of whatever situation the person is in. Everyone is invited. All are sinners. But we cannot remain in sin. We cannot undermine the standard that is kept here. We cannot afford to remain in sin. This is the place truth is preached. This is the place truth is at work. How can I remain a sinner sitting here? How can I remain in sin sitting here? We have to allow the truth to work in me. You know, some group, they believe that once you are saved, once you are accepted, means you are accepted eternally. Once you are baptized, means you are baptized for you are baptized and your salvation is secure. If we take that view, I have two Bible verses to bring before you. Jesus says, but the one who endures till the end will be saved. We have to run this race and we have to complete the race till the end. And another Bible verse which you see both Old Testament and New Testament, this goes like, do not blot my name out of the book of life. That prayer comes. And when the Spirit says to the church in Sardis, if you conquer, if you win, your name will not be blot out from the book of life. So there is a danger here. Yes, I am saved. I'm received by God. I became the child of God. But I cannot remain in sin. I have to come out and I have to wear the dress that is given to me. There's a difference between accepting Jesus as Savior and serving Him as Lord. Joining the church and being in the church. Knowing the truth and applying the truth. The first part should lead to the second part. What do you do with God's invitation? Are we dressed up as per the calling? Last week we studied, we looked at Jesus as, Jesus is our cornerstone. Jesus is our cornerstone. And we showed a little bit of demonstration here. When you remove the cornerstone, everything collapses. You know, the cornerstone is something like, if you have to put it in our modern language, computer operating system. Computer operating system is very important. You know, I remember still using DOS, disk operating system. We have to be very careful in saving it. If you don't save it, you lose everything. And also, if you are going to update your software or your operating system, everything is gone. And Windows, I think you can still save your work. But in Windows, the operating system is very important. All other apps are added onto it. Jesus is our operating system, and we build everything on Him. If we corrupt or if we delete the operating system, everything collapses. Shall we live a life that he has called us to live? Shall we give attention to all his ordinances and statutes and live and give praise to him? May the dear Lord bless us all. Amen. Let us all stand.